following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
It's Subway's birthday, and everyone's celebrating. Because you could win a new grand prize every day all September long. Like Jeep Compass SUVs and Florida beach vacations. Connect prizes and Radio Shack prize packs, cash and more. Just grab a 30-ounce drink or Doritos chips and join the sub prize party for your chance to win. Subway, where winners eat.
No purchase or payment necessary. Ends 10/14/12 to enter. And for official rules and free method of entry, see subway.com. Open to eligible legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and District of Columbia 13 years or older. Void where prohibited.
Back to school, back to sports, back to life. Fall is busy. Get ready with a set of new Bridgestone tires and a little something in return. Now when you buy four select Bridgestone tires, you could receive a $70 American Express reward card or Wii system by mail. This fall, it's game on with Bridgestone. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems are given away on behalf of Bridgestone Americas. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insights from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda and David Day with you on this Tuesday. Daryl Morris, Tony Harper, UNK and Hastings football coaches are going to join us. Kevin Kugler is going to join us in the second part of the program today as well. He's all over the place. He's called NFL football every Sunday. He's calling college football. He was at the Iowa game on Saturday. He's got Nebraska volleyball tomorrow against Michigan State. So all that is coming up on the program today. And the first thing that you say to me is, where's my Notre Dame intro? You're claiming that? You're claiming that?
A dub is a dub. At the end of the day, a W is a W. It does not matter that it set back college football 10 years with that effort and that Denard Robinson and Marcus Golston did not want to keep the football. I think they misunderstood completion percentage. That was to their own receivers. It did not help their percentage when they threw it to just anybody. So it was a W is a W is a W, and I think Manti Te'o is the leading candidate for the Heisman Trophy. And you know he's going to get some votes. Could you East Coast bias.
Could you get John McBride on the line? Because I can tell that Coach Day is not feeling well today. I talked about it yesterday, Damon, and I don't know how much anybody watched, and I didn't watch every minute of every televised game Saturday, but I said it was one of the worst Saturdays of college football I can ever remember. It was horrid. It was absolutely horrid.
There was definitely the old-fashioned, you know, mismatches, but even when some of the better teams played, it just seemed to the games just weren't very well executed, and I'm sure it's still growing pains, and everybody's kind of starting to, you know, I always say this would be the weekend where things would get a little rough because some schools haven't started conference seasons, but what Kansas State did, oh my goodness, I mean that's a huge win for them, and the Big 12 is already up in the air, so I agree. I watched some football on Saturday as well, and it definitely just did not seemed like a crisp, clean weekend, to say the least.
Yesterday, bowl projections come out, and I was just happy to be looking at this one at CBSSports.com. They've got Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. They got West Virginia winning the Big 12. They got Nebraska winning the Big 10. Which of those three are the least likely to happen?
probably Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. I mean, no offense to my Irish. Their offense is not really clicking on all cylinders to run the table. But, you know, if we can get to 10 wins, then they would probably be in the BCS. I think Nebraska, with the way the Big Ten is going, and I know that the loss to UCLA definitely dampened the spirits of the Husker season. But really, the way the whole Big Ten is playing right now, unfortunately, the Big Ten just doesn't look very good. They remind me of the Big East a few years ago when we just had to send somebody from the Big East to the BCS type of thing. So hopefully those teams will continue to improve and get better. But the Big Ten does not. I saw the game versus Central Michigan and on television, and I've never seen an you know, most of the time when you hit that game-winning kick, it's like majestic. You know, it sails through the uprights. Not a squibs knuckleball going sideways, barely making it. But, hey, it's good. It counts. So, but another rough weekend for the Big Ten. So.
It went through. That's all.
Hey, 3 points. That's all they needed. So you don't get style points. You don't. I always say, you know, you don't get that fourth point just because it was majestic. But that was a fun game to watch. That was a fun game to watch a little bit. And so.
There we go.
Oh,
it's the only thing that makes me. That's just a somewhat ill.
Yeah, it's okay though.
Going back to the Big Ten, the two teams that are 4-0 in the Legends Division are Minnesota and Northwestern. Picked to finish 5th and 6th in the league, they are 4-0. Then Nebraska and Michigan State are 3-1. Iowa and Michigan are 2-2. Leaders Division: Ohio State 4-0. Wisconsin has found a way to get to 3-1. Indiana and Purdue are 2-1. Penn State and Illinois are 2-2 with some very embarrassing losses out there. And we're going to be catching up with Tom Dienhart, senior analyst for the Big Ten Network, later on in the week. Tomorrow, don't forget our Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan will be on hand at Cunningham's Journal every Wednesday. Doug and Daddy from 11 to 12. And then we have the Husker Lunch from 12 to 1. We'll recap what has happened so far in the Husker season. Where Taylor Martinez is, people maybe not even realizing that. I'm still waiting for all those Taylor Martinez haters to call in, because he'll have one off week here somewhere, and then he'll be the worst again. But 71% completions, number 1 in the Big Ten, number 10 in the country for passing efficiency so far. We'll talk about that. Preview Wisconsin. Plus, on tomorrow's show, Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report, Rick Squires, UNK Volleyball. They have a home game tonight at 7, and then they've got a big conference weekend coming up on the court here at UNK Health and Sports Center, but tonight at Zone at 7 o'clock, and they remain number 1 in the country. If Roger Goodell is going to, I listened a little bit of Dan Patrick this morning, if Roger Goodell is going to come out with a statement, the NFL is coming out with a statement, and Patrick's got it right on, I don't want a statement. The only thing the statement should say is, we apologize to Green Bay, and we have come to terms. The regular officials will be back on the field Thursday. If there's a statement, that's all it should say. He's dead on with that. Tom Brady has just said the replacement officials are doing the best they can, and they have not affected the outcome of any Patriot games so far this season. Waiting for a comment from Mel Gibson on that. Also, this has happened a couple of times throughout the history of sports in this show. NFL, if you want to make it right, you just step up and you declare the Packers the winner. The game was over. There are zeros. Nothing could have changed. No more game would have been played. All you have to do is come out and say, it was an interception. We have made a mistake. Don't come out and say you made a mistake, because if you say you made a mistake, then you can write the mistake and say, that was the incorrect call. Green Bay wins the game 12-7. Now, that does nothing for the gambling and all the other things that go on in the world now of fantasy football and Las Vegas and offshore and all of this. But they still could do that. They won't, but they could.
It's funny. You hear all the announcers throughout doing their – the announcers throughout doing the whole, oh, well, we're waiting for the statement. Oh, we're waiting for the statement. First and foremost, statement, like you said, is pointless. They're going to back the officials. They're going to say that – they're going to go with the whole he had possession, multiple – you know, dual possession. I can't understand where Golden – I mean, just having your arm wedged in between – someone else's arm in a football is not possession. And then you saw, I mean, it looked like Keystone Cops when those two guys were standing there staring at each other. And I know, hey, if there's anybody that hates officials as much as I in this world, it is me. Because I just have a bad taste in how officials go about carrying themselves. There are great ones out there, but at the end of the day, what is this? This is a $14 million argument in a $500 business. $500 billion business.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically squawking about $14 million in a $500 billion business. I like the analogy of it's like having a NASCAR and going down and buying tractor tires at Orchlands and putting it on a NASCAR. You have this beautiful machine, this product that is phenomenal, and then you use inferior parts to keep it up. And that's what they're doing right now with the NFL. And at some point, obviously, as fans, stop watching and they'll get it fixed. That's when, if ratings would have dipped and interest would have dipped, then you'd probably see this. I think Goodell is such an egomaniac that I don't see a resolution coming. I don't think this spurns a resolution, because I think the NFL can talk themselves into saying the right call was made. That's a dual possession.
Well, don't tell me that. But you know what? I can still at least understand what's going on. You can't just cave to the referees that are as much to blame for this as anybody else. You can't just cave to them because their replacement aren't as good. You just can't do that.
Well, like we were talking about before, the regular guys screw up just as much as well. It's not the first time we've had to pull a team back out of the locker room to finish the game. I think what they say back to Patriots in 98 or something like that had to have it happen.
Yeah.
So it's not like the regular officials are so far superior. They just seem to manage their messes better, whereas these replacement guys just look like completely out of sync and don't have any idea what's going on. At least the regular officials have the ability to at least come together and share their incompetency as a group, rather than one or two guys just kind of getting off on the side and doing their thing. So it's comical in some areas, but I mean, it's a travesty in others.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Your thoughts, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, with your thoughts on what happened last night.
I had a question. All the announcers for ESPN yesterday, if you happen to watch the game on TV, why isn't offensive pass interference called in the end zone? They said it three or four times. Steve Young said it. Dilfer said it. Stuart Scott even said it. They said, you'll never get offensive pass. The push-off's not a big deal because you're never going to get that call.
Exactly.
I guess why wouldn't you? I mean, that would be my
unwritten rule.
Yeah.
It's an unwritten rule.
Because that was more blatant than
two-hand shoved to the back. But, again, you can make a mistake. But they're overplaying it on ESPN. All you can do is look at that and go, how out of position were those guys?
Yeah. Well, the guy who called
the touchdown
was in the
front. That ball's in the air for a
while,
and they're still sprinting over there and getting there late.
Yeah. The guy who called the touchdown was the front judge, wasn't he? Or he was on the sideline by the pylon, not even near the pylon. So he just
showed up. One guy looks at the other one and goes, okay, it looks like his arms are going, oh, crap.
Yeah.
He just put him in the air, and I'm calling it incomplete.
Yeah.
I'm stopping play. Well, so there it is, something to talk about in the world of sports today. Ryder Cup coming up. They're getting set for that. A lot of injuries in the National Football League. Before we get too far away from this, though, here's the bottom line. You can give me all this hype about how loud it is at Seattle and how good their defense is. I'm still sticking by my prediction of Green Bay not even making the playoffs is looking good. If they can't run the ball, they're starting to figure out how to slow this passing game down. Seattle's not that good, okay, people? Seattle's not that good. But if they catch the ball in week one, they're undefeated. Arizona's 2-1, and we're talking about how great they are, and Pete Carroll's a genius.
Pete Carroll's not a genius.
Thank God. I don't know. Only one genius I know, and that's the offensive coordinator at Hastings College, and I don't even know who that is. Tony Harper joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to start with Coach Harper today on the program. They're 3-0, getting ready for a home game against Dakota Wesleyan after a 34-24 win at Briarcliff. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Do you know any of the replacement officials in the NFL? Have they ever done a Hastings College game?
No, our officials in the GPAC are doing better than those guys, so we're going to keep them in the conference.
14-0, get off to a great start. Dakota Dome, 17-3 at half, and then Briarcliff becomes much more competitive, I guess, as the game goes along. How did you see the way that this game moved on? Did the kids get a lead and coast, or did Briarcliff just start playing better?
I think number one is a credit to Briarcliff and how their kids responded in that second half. Their coaches did a great job. But what we did, we watched that film on Sunday, and we were very unhappy with some of the things that we did in the second half. You know, there was about three misalignments. Two of them cost us touchdowns. Our fits weren't very good on the back end. In our secondary, we just didn't go through our reads, and we weren't aggressive. And that falls back on us as coaches and me as the defensive coordinator. And we watched film on Sunday. We watched it again yesterday, and it's going to be a work in progress. We just got to make sure our guys are getting lined correctly and going through their keys instead of just kind of going through the motions.
You told us last week that P.J. Caroga, if I said that right, the quarterback at Briarcliff, was pretty good and 413 yards through the air, but he was also pretty efficient, 30 of 40. They rode him.
They did. And, you know, the thing is, and obviously we're playing in the dome, so it was on turf and everything, but he didn't end up on his back one time. And what we got to do is we got to bring smarter pressure from different angles. The call's got to be better from our standpoint. We didn't get much of a pass rush to help our secondary out. And, you know, he's a good quarterback, but if there's nobody in his face, I think maybe even I can complete a couple balls. So we got to do a lot of work there getting pressures on the quarterback.
Good things that came out of this football game.
I'll tell you what, our offense is they're doing a great job, and I think the turning point in that game was, you know, we had a mental mistake on special teams. We went back, we kind of took the ball out of the end zone, and the offense came out with the ball on the one-yard line, and then proceeded to put together a 99-yard drive. And, you know, it took a lot of time off the clock. We were able to run the football. Those guys are doing a pretty good job over there.
You moved through this football game. You got some nice play once again from Keenan Ballage. It looked like the kicking game was fairly solid. Even though Briarcliff had all those yards, you do have to make a few tackles out there, and a couple of kids at least stepped up and made sure they didn't take it to the house every time.
Yeah, and I think a couple of those guys that you mentioned is Curtis Hudeberg. He led us in tackles last week. And Curtis is, you know, he's kind of been banged up the previous 2 years. We got him starting as inside linebacker. He just wants it. You know, it ain't got nothing to do with coaches. It's Curtis listening to what's going on during the week and processing it and putting it into what's going to happen in the game. So he was in pretty good position. Jacob Jensen, we had a guy go down early in the second half. We put J.J. out there, and that big old boy did a good job rerouting. He got a pass interference, but I'm not going to hold that against him because he was being aggressive with it. But there's some things that we saw that we can definitely build on. We just can't put ourselves in the hole and let people drive all the way down the field on us. We got to be a little bit smarter on defense.
Your scoring drives weren't two plays either. You guys were able to mount some drives.
Yeah, they were, and I think, again, it goes back to the trigger man, John Dossler. You know, he's in here watching film. He's on the same page with Joe Holtzclaw and Dave Kamara and those guys on the offensive side of the ball, and we got Nick Blunt involved with a couple reverses and some things like that. But, you know, those guys right now, they got a confidence about them that regardless of what happened on the previous play, they're going to forget about it and they're going to go on to the next one. And right now we're going to ride them the rest of the season. Those guys got to keep doing that.
Coach, you're 3-0. Dakota Wesleyan's up next. What's it going to take to get you guys to 4-0?
Well, what we got to do is we got to take care of ourselves first on the defensive side of the ball. We got to make sure we get more pressure on that quarterback. We got to make sure we don't get guys behind us and out of position. You know, they got the best tailback in the league. They got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So we got to try and make those guys one dimensional. Offensively, you know, Dakota Wesleyan on their defense brings good pressure. We got to identify their blitz package. We got to make those guys commit too much and hopefully get something over the top of them. We got to hold on to the football. Special teams is going to be a big key this weekend because if we can pin those guys back and make them drive the length of the field, you know, that sets us up pretty good. So we're going to have to be smart in all three phases of it.
Tony Harper with us for another minute, Hastings College football coach. Is Dakota Wesleyan a surprise team in the league this year, or is this kind of what everybody thought they'd have?
You know, I think here's where I think they're at. Offensively, they got some skilled guys. They got some weapons. Defensively, they took a big hit kind of like we did. However, they filled it with some guys that are very physical that fit their scheme. They're just picking it up a little bit quicker right now. What they do with Coach Simple up there at Dakota Wesleyan, I think they're very well coached. I mean, they're doing some things. They're riding that big old tailback. the putting the ball in Bain's hands as a quarterback. They're doing some very good things. They're not shooting themselves in the foot. You know, they're taking care of the football when they need to, and their defense is creating a lot of pressure on offense. So I would say right now they're deserving of a top 20 ranking in the nation, and they're a good football team.
Is Hastings College deserving of a top 25? I guess we assumed after the win that you guys would pop in, and you did not. I know coaches don't necessarily care about rankings, but it's nice to get up and get established in case there's a bump in the road later on in the season.
Now I'm going to give you all some coach speak, which you know this is what coaches do.
Well, let me phrase it different so I don't get exact coach speak. We've talked all year about where, and this is maybe the toughest game you're going to see in the first 6 weeks because Dakota Wesleyan has stepped up here. But from my standpoint, you come into the rankings this week, if you can keep winning, get to that 6-0, build yourself up to wherever that may take you, 15th, 18th in the country. Say Morningside, who's ranked fourth in the country, they beat you. They're going to be favorite. Let's say that. If you're not in the rankings or you're 23rd, it's going to knock you out. If you're 15th and they beat you, it may knock you down to 17th, keep you in playoff contention. That would seem to be at least a little bit of a concern.
You know, a little bit, but we try and bang in our guys' heads, and we got banging in our own heads as coaches. We got to take care of ourselves first. Do we deserve a national ranking right now in the top 25? No, we do not. We got to clean up that defense. We got to be more consistent on the special team side of the ball. Offensively, are we a top 25 team offensively? Yes, we are. What we got to continue to do is improve. We got to limit the big plays defensively. We got to keep scoring offensively. Special teams need to get cleaned up. Does this game carry a lot of weight for us on down the road? There's no doubt about it. We've got to come out and we got to play perfect football to compete and play against Dakota Wesleyan, and we'll just kind of see what happens after that. If the Raiders think we deserve to be ranked, then they'll put us in. If they don't, well, I guess we just need to keep handling our business and going out there and playing good football.
Tony, before we let you go, I guess I don't know that you can speak to this directly, but I want to know if it affected any of the players or anything during the football game because the Hastings College sports family lost one of their athletes in a car wreck with a train off the wrestling team. Did the team know anything about that? Did that affect anything that happened Saturday?
No, sir, we didn't know anything about it until we got on the bus and was heading home. Our thoughts and prayers go out to that family and to the whole Hastings College Athletic Department, especially our wrestling program and Coach Kelly. We had some older guys on our team that had roomed with him and were good friends, and we're going to be thinking about him and everybody else that's affected by this tragic accident the rest of this season.
Well, Coach, hopefully the football team can go out and keep on getting wins and see you at home on Saturday, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds great. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Tony. Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda with Damon Day. It's just, you know, we mentioned it yesterday. It ends up being a news story. It's also a sports story. But when you're talking, and Damon being coach at the NAIA level, we've seen a couple of schools now have an accident here in the last 8 months or so that has cost someone their life, and this was just a bad deal down in Kansas. Had, you know, he's with his mother, and a train accident, and you hear about those every once in a while, but this one hits close to home, and the smaller the school, I would think, the more that it affects everybody.
Without a doubt. You know, Hastings is similar to an NAI school that I coached at, and they're a smaller knit, smaller community as far as school goes, especially with the enrollment being down. Everybody kind of knows everybody, and I think that's why those universities thrive, is because people feel comfortable at them. And I think any time that you have a tragedy like this, it kind of shakes the foundation of a school. You know, UNK has had some similar incidences with its students, where we've lost some students, and there's been an outpouring of support for those families, but it doesn't have the same feel to it because, you know, UNK has 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 students, and so I think the smaller the community, the bigger the tragedy is felt, and our, obviously, you know, your thoughts and prayers go out to his family, and but it is probably, as a coach, from a coaching standpoint, take your own kids and your own family out of it. It's the one phone call you hope you never have to make.
Bad deal. We're still tracking down Coach Darrell Morris, and unfortunately, I hope they're not building him an office up in the new wing of Good Samaritan, because those kids are just getting banged up, and more of them this weekend. But hopefully, the tide will have turned. Three of the four teams they've played already are in the top 20 in the nation. And Matt Berry had a heck of a game, and the team really battled on Saturday for homecoming. Coming up, we'll try and track down the coach. We'll also have Kevin Kugler joining us from Dial Global Radio Network. And, of course, a lot of folks know him from all the things that he does, from Big Red Wrap-Up on Nebraska Educational Television to all he's done down in Omaha. But he's traveling the world, been to the Olympics. Crazy kid. We'll talk to him coming up in a little bit. If you're ready for lunch, though, don't forget the Chicken Coop in Grand Island, and Kearney is the place to be. They've got weekday homestyle lunch specials every single day for you. And on Tuesday nights, it's Wing Basket Night. Every Tuesday, a basket of 10 flame-broiled wings with your choice from all of their wing flavors for only $5. Whether it's just you or the family or just a group of friends that are going in tonight to watch baseball or whatever else it is that you want to watch, they've got it on for you. Happy hours from 2 to 5:30, Monday through Friday. Watch all the great sports, eat the great food, and enjoy everyone's company at the Chicken Coop, Kearney, and Grand Island.
Whoa, I can't believe you have these great seats, man. Did you get season tickets?
John, we're in my basement.
Oh, right. That new TV is a serious upgrade.
Football is a game of inches, so get to the ultimate football experience at Sears, and we'll help put some awesome ones on your wall. Right now, save $70 on a Sony 42-inch 1080p LED TV, only $579.99. This is game-changing. This is Sears. Offer ends 9/29/12. See store or sears.com/football for details. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
IBM System X x86 servers and the midsize company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common: IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation is online all the time with not only our local live Doug and Daddy show and local games, but now the national ESPN shows like Mike and Mike, The Herd, and more. Just click on the Listen Live link at ESPNSuperstation.com. Take us along on your mobile phone as well. Just download the TuneIn Radio app and make us a favorite. Oh, yeah. We're on your radio, too. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with a high of 83 with a northeast wind from 5 to 10. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to 48 for a low with a light east wind. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back as always at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where right now the third annual dual store sale is going on at the Chrysler store on South 2nd Avenue. They're even open on Sunday for the special event from 11 to 5. Over 350 vehicles to choose from at their Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram location. Wide selection of exclusive Midway certified pre-owned inventory with all of the great options and the warranties. They're also offering complimentary oil changes, tire rotations for the first year on select new and pre-owned vehicles, free car washes for life, and a whole lot more. Don't miss out on it. It runs through the end of the month, but time is flying, folks, because you know when the end of the month is? Sunday. The Midway Auto Dealership's third annual dual store sale doesn't get any bigger than this, and it runs through Sunday at the Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram location, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Daryl Morris, the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda along with Damon Day on this Tuesday. And, Coach, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
We didn't pull you away from biotechnical, physical therapy, molecular science, did
no.
we?
Putting an atom today. Minor league stuff.
Yeah, well, that may seem simple as opposed to putting this football team back together piece by piece again. Your overall thoughts, because it looked like the team really went out and gave it everything they had again on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought we played hard. You know, we had some misfortune happen to us. You know, we had a very questionable thing happen to us early in the game that gave them their first touchdown, and that was difficult for us to have to, you know, handle that because it was probably a mistake. But, You know, so we're a beat up football team. We're not a football team that's garnishing a lot of luck at this particular point in time, and we need some guys to get healthier, and we need some luck.
Well, let's, for the over 5,000 fans that were there for homecoming, they're obviously going to want to know if you know any more on the clarification. For the folks that don't know, Lopers are marching down the field. It appears that they've taken the ball to the 14-yard line. The play appears to be done. All of a sudden, one of the Northwest Missouri State kids is running the other way. They count it as an 86-yard fumble return for a touchdown to make it 7-0. You guys only allow two more field goals in the first half, so it's 13-0 at half. Have you? What's the film show you, and have you heard from the league?
We've not. We sent the film into the league officials, and we've not gotten a response back from them. But as we can tell, the film indicates our guy is down. Tommy Flanagan's on his back for really quite some time before the ball is taken away from him. So, in our opinion, it was. We were first and 10 on the 14. And matter of fact, in the film, you can see Matt Berry, the quarterback, walking to the sideline to get the next play call already. So, unfortunate.
Coach, when a situation like that arises, what do you tell your kids? How do you keep them going in those types of situations?
You tell them what they got to hear, and that is, hey, you can't do anything about it. They're not going to change the call, so you got to go on. It's a long game. That was early in the game, so it certainly didn't lose the ball game for us. But it was a huge momentum swing, and it was also a huge field position swing from us being on their 14-yard line, and we were dominating the first quarter. We had the ball for most of the first quarter in our two drives, and had eaten up a fair amount of their clock, kept their offense off the field. So it was just a kick in the stomach, you know, to have that happen to us.
You get a good long drive to get the second half underway when you got the ball. A 12-play drive, chews up 75 yards in 6 minutes, and that cuts it to 13-7. Tell us what happens after that.
Well, then I think we end up giving, you know, they got the ball back and they went on a drive themselves and scored a touchdown and once again extended their lead back to 10 or whatever it was or 13. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where, we're just fighting and scrapping. We got guys trying to make plays, and sometimes when they're pressing too hard, they make mistakes. And, you know, subsequently we got a guy on a kickoff return later trying to make a play and ends up turning the ball over and giving them a short field, you know. So we're a group of guys that everybody's trying to make something happen, and sometimes that works out great, and sometimes that comes back and bites you.
Coach, I know you've had the injury bug, obviously, at one of the most crucial positions at quarterback. What did you think of Matt Berry's play on Saturday?
I thought Matt did a phenomenal job. I mean, by the time we were done with that ball game, the guys from Northwest Missouri were sick of chasing Matt Berry around on the football field. There's no question about that. He was 18 of 24, something like that, throwing the football. Did a nice job distributing the ball, checked it down to the back several times. He gives you that dual threat thing in the backfield. He can throw the ball, he can run with the ball, and you can be in a one-back set and actually have two backs in the backfield with him back there. Or you can be in a no-back set and you still have a running back in the backfield, and that's what we always had with Spitzelberger. So this week we're going to try to expand the playbook with him a little bit and get him a little bit further into that, and hopefully he can even do some more things next week.
Daryl Morris with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I know you didn't want to speak to it after the game on Saturday. Can you fill us in on the additional injury situation as of today?
Well, you know, we're a beat-up football team, and we're still not exactly sure about some of the injuries. Some of them are still getting looked at by the doctors, and we're hopeful, but, you know, we got to make plans that the guys that were on crutches at the end of the game may or may not be available to play, and that means some younger guys are going to have to step up. And that's so far, unfortunately, that's been the mantra that we've been working with all year long. So, we're just going to have to wait and see how they progress during the week and see who's going to be available on Saturday. Some of them will actually be game-time decisions, I believe. Just to look, we'll have to see how they feel in pregame warm-up.
I'll have to specifically ask you about Tommy Flanagan.
I'm not sure, because Tommy Flanagan's x-rays were clear. He's been getting two treatments. He's been in the game ready twice a day. So it's just going to kind of depend on, as we get towards the end of the week, how much discomfort he has. It's a ligament in his foot that kind of slipped out of the groove, and then it's back in. They tried to manipulate it yesterday, I think it was, in the training room, and could not get the tendon to slip back out. So it's not as severe as what we had once thought, and that's still, you got to get the swelling out of it before you know what you really got.
Coach, Lindenwood coming up this weekend. Not to say that they're not a quality opponent, but they're not ranked in the nation's top 20. What are you looking for them? What are they going to try to accomplish, and what are you guys going to try to accomplish to stop them?
Well, they're prolific at throwing the football. You know, the young man that they have playing quarterback for him is a junior college transfer that we actually looked at one time, and then he can play. They're not as physical a football team as we've played. They run really well on defense. They're going to throw the ball almost every down on offense, and they'll run it enough just to keep you honest, but they want to throw the football. And defensively, you know, they do some things that we're somewhat familiar with. There are some running lanes. Again, they played Glanville State. Glanville State, who had a relatively non-scrambling quarterback. Central Missouri doesn't have a scrambling quarterback. Southwest Baptist doesn't have a scrambling quarterback. So this will be the first guy that they have to prepare for that can hand the ball off, throw the football, and run with it. So hopefully we'll find some things to do offensively with that.
Coach, anything else that the folks need to know before we let you move on to the rest of your day?
No, it's just, you know, I mean, I can tell you that our team is very resolved. You know, we're determined. We're going to win us a football game here in the future sometime. And I think this is probably a pivotal game for us. I mean, you look at our schedule, we now are entering a part of our schedule where most of the teams and the rest of our schedule at the lower half of the MIAA. And if we were not beat up as we were, I would say we would be the favorite team for sure. Now I'd say most of the games are 50-50.
Well, let's get the 50 on our side this week and start a winning streak. Daryl, thanks for the time as always. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Hey, thanks, guys.
That's Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. There's no sugarcoating it, but we knew at the beginning of the year this was a possibility, and if you would have lined up the situation and the turnovers and the injuries, basically the injuries, no one would probably be shocked at where the Lopers are right now. I know they still want to go back and play that first week over again, and Emporia was awesome, and then you play two top 10 teams basically here the last 2 weeks. So now it's time to hopefully be healthy enough to have a football team that can play Saturday and win Saturday.
You know, schedule makers sometimes have a bigger impact, and no one likes to get off to the gauntlet that they've had to go through to start a season. But, you know, I think that now when we'll see Lindenwood and see how they do there and get some guys healthy and get on the right side of things.
The NFL has made their statement. Oh, my God, they've gone by the book. We'll tell you about it with Kevin Cougar joining us as well after this.
Hi, Tom Baudet, trying to make sense of this Mayan calendar. It seems to end December 21st, 2012. That's unsettling. Oh well, still plenty of time this year to stay at Motel 6 and get a clean, comfortable room for the lowest price of any national chain. And we're still taking reservations for after December 21st. All due respect to the Mayans. Sorry, King Kitnich Akolmonab. Nothing but love for you. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jersey's in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late-night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m., not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and Trickle Cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen.
and we'll tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with a high of 83 with a northeast wind from 5 to 10. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to 48 for a low with a light east wind. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 66.
Doug and Danny Show, where all of our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK, home of the Whopper, Carney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. Stop by and have one today, next to Walmart at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue, or at 8th Street and 3rd Avenue. That's right by Carney Cinema. They've even got a huge indoor playground for the kids. Do you have any sympathy for the replacement officials in the NFL? That's our poll question today. I do. They're hired to do a job, and maybe they are not qualified to do the job. Maybe they're being outclassed. I still think they're trying to do the best they can, even if they've made some bumbling efforts. So I say, yes, they've been put in a bad spot.
I think that they get paid well enough to not have to worry about their feelings being hurt.
Yesterday's poll question.
That's my opinion.
No, that's fine. That's why we have the – that's great. That's what makes these things.
What is it? They're making $75,000 this year, if I read it right. Prorated, because they're all rookies.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So they're making $75,000.
Yeah, it's not – in the grand scheme of things, it's not very much, although that sounds like a lot.
Right.
It's not very much.
Right, not very much considering how much money's at stake.
Our poll question yesterday, what do you make of the Huskers opening as a 12.5-point favorite against Wisconsin? Too high, too low, or just right?
Oh, I think it's a clean line. I mean, I mean, if you've watched what the Huskers have done and you've watched what Wisconsin has done, it's probably on a little low side, but, you know, I think the Huskers are gonna do well this weekend.
It just shocked me. It shocked me. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I voted it was just a tad too high because you're talking about I don't care what's happened. They're the two-time defending Big Ten champs with talent. Now, if Monte Ball can't go, I think that makes a big difference. But 52% of the listeners said too high, 43% just right, only 5% said too low. As Nebraska and Wisconsin get ready for the 7 o'clock matchup Saturday night on ABC.
Hey, I'm with 43% of the population. I like that.
That's closer. By the way, are you still a communist?
You would be stunned. I'm more known for not wanting LeBron James to win a gold medal than anything else I've ever said in my entire lifetime, and it's quite comical.
Is that what they yelled at you driving?
I was getting out of my truck one day up by the baseball stadium, and they were driving by the elementary school, and some guy goes, "Hey, Dad, you commie?" I was like, "Hey, just because I hate LeBron James does not make me a communist."
Oh, well, this very well-worded, lawyerly-like statement out from the NFL, blah, 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 we're doing nothing, blah, 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 the replay official did the right thing, blah, 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 blah. Referee Wayne Elliott determined that no indisputable visual evidence existed to overturn the call on the field. As a result, the on-field ruling of touchdown stood. The result of the game is final. He's seen a few pro games. He's witnessed up front some of these replacement officials, and we won't harp on that the whole segment, but Kevin Kugler from Dial Global, and of course you'll catch him tonight on NET talking Big Red football. He joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show after his trips around the world this summer. Kev, great to catch up with you again. How's it going?
It's going great, and I'm glad to hear that communism is still strong in central Nebraska. That's always been a real trademark of central Nebraska, and I'm so glad that it's just pumping right out there. And communists, what is that, hating against the United States? What is going on?
I mean, they're rooting for the foreigners in the Olympic gold medal. That was the whole thing. It was just crazy. By the way, I wanted to ask you, I haven't even seen you since then. How was the Olympics?
It was fine. I rooted for the United States because I love this country. So, you know, but that's fine. You know, each to his own, I guess, you know, if you're into Lenin and Marx and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and now Damon Day hates you even more, so because he's a communist.
Even more, implying that there was hatred there well before this even came up. That's great. What did I do to you, Damon?
He can't see now. He told me off the air that you made. See, he's the baseball coach here at UNK. He said you made fun of him once. Once, and that's all it took. That's all it took. I said, I don't know. It was 9 years ago, and they were not very good. I said, I was probably, you know, exactly. I said, you should take it as a compliment. You've turned the program around. You've beaten number one teams in the country. He's over here sucking his thumb right now. Kev, what do you think from last night? And I thought maybe we'd get at least a little something out of the NFL today. I knew we wouldn't. I'd hope we did, but we didn't.
Well, we got what you expected. I mean, the NFL, if they were to come out today and say, you know what, we looked at that, and boy, was that screwed up. Packers get the win. You become even more of a credibility issue as a league. You can't, as much as we all saw, and look, we all saw the call was wrong. The interpretation of the simultaneous catch rule was wrong because the rule is that you cannot, if one player has control and is on the ground, the opponent cannot take the ball away and then have it be a simultaneous catch. That's what happened. That is against that's the simultaneous catch rule. You can't apply it there, but they applied it there. The NFL today says in the end zone, yes, you can review a simultaneous catch, but according to the rules, necessarily you can't. It's a huge confusion, but you add more problem to it if you come out and go, and now we're going to reverse the ruling on the field a day later, and we're going to give another team a win. You create all kinds of credibility issues. Today's ruling doesn't surprise me at all. It's exactly what you expected from the NFL in this situation. It's just disappointing that we've gotten to this point with this lockout of the NFL refs. And this isn't a strike, this is a lockout. We've gotten to the point where now you have to question the credibility of the league a little bit because, unfortunately, the games are in question as a result of last night.
Kevin, Damon Day here, and I know Doug was giving you a hard time, but as a whole, has the officiating been as bad as the public outcry is, or is the scrutiny just that much more? Because the regular officials have made their mistakes, and we've had similar situations with having to pull teams out of the locker rooms on disputable calls. Is it they're really that bad, or is it just the scrutiny is truly that much more on them?
Well, Damon, I think you're right on one aspect. There is more scrutiny on these guys, and it's become such a talking point. Oh, look at that. Officials screwed up. Oh, replacement refs. It's become sort of a punchline right now. And the officials did screw up before. Here's where I've seen in my games that I've done and in other games that I've watched, here's where the issues come for me. It's just a general confusion about the rules. That's the problem that you have. And you know this as a coach, and anybody who's been around sports knows this. We talk about it all the time in the context of Nebraska on a defensive side for football. It's not so much of a, you may know kind of what's supposed to happen here, but you're slow to react. And if you're slow to react in the NFL, the play is so fast, it's just so much quicker than you can even imagine, that if they're slow to react, the call is slow, they're late in position, they don't understand the rules, they don't interpret the rules correctly. It's the stuff that we take for granted where, and I use him because he's a local guy, Cleet Blakeman, who's a white hat in the NFL, knows every rule, knows all the rules, and is immediately able to apply them. That's a gift, and these guys don't have that gift. And when we're talking about going down to the Division III level, the lingerie bowl level, the fired guy from some small peewee league level where some of these guys are from, and bringing them in to referee these games, it would be like asking me to go out and run the 100 in the Olympics and then being really upset with me when I finish dead last. These guys aren't equipped for this role, and that's the problem that you're having. They're just not capable of doing this at this level. I really believe it is a gift to be able to officiate with a lot of work and a lot of teaching to get to that level, but you have to have something innate that allows you to be able to react quickly. These guys who do it have that on a pretty regular basis. These guys don't.
We're chatting with Kevin Kugler here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kev, we've heard from a variety of different folks when they think this might get resolved. You've been behind the scenes this NFL season so far. What's your take on it? Will it get resolved?
Well, every week somebody says, maybe this will be the thing that drags them back to the table. And, of course, that's been the big talking point since last night. Well, this will, you know, Darren Revelle, this will take market down. This will be the last game that the replacement refs officiate. Well, It's Monday. It's almost noon. I haven't heard anything yet about movement, meetings, and I'm sure they would be reporting it if it were out there. I really believe Thursday night we're going to see replacement refs on the field again, and it's just going to continue to snowball. And the other problem that you see with this is the players have no respect for these guys. How much more pushing and shoving and chippiness do you see in these games that would not be allowed to happen when the real refs are on the field? It's almost like when you go into a classroom and the substitute teacher is there and the kids are throwing spitballs from the back of the room and chaos reigns. Well, talking to people who've been on the sidelines these last few weeks, the players, as the weeks have gone on, respect these guys so little that they'll just stand on the sidelines and just curse them out and just yell at them and scream at them, and they're not doing anything about it. They've lost control of the situation. Every week you think this is going to be the impetus to get the real refs back. I hope it happens soon. It needs to happen soon for the game and for it to remain the great game that we all enjoy, but it's got to move soon, and they've got to move quick.
So are you staying on Sunday nights all year long?
No, I'm done with Sunday nights. Dave Sims was off for the last two Sunday nights because he is the voice of the Mariners, and they were wrapping up their season.
Oh, God.
He had their last, he lost, and I won. So I did Sunday nights. No, this week I'm in Atlanta. I get to see the Red Hot Falcons take on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. So it should be it's always a tough match for Atlanta. It's always a great game, very physical, and I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
Somebody check the schedule. We carrying that? We got that one on?
Yeah, carry that game, would you? It's the early game. It's the Newton game on Sunday.
We'll be the second affiliate to get on there. Let's move on.
That would be good. Thank you.
We got Kevin Kugler with us, so let's ask him a couple of other topics here. I hear it's been very windy in Omaha out of the west the last couple of days because of the immense sucking coming out of Iowa, and you got to witness that on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, Hawkeye fans, I'm not really allowed back in the state. I've done two Iowa games in my first 4 weeks of the Big Ten Network schedule this year, and they've lost both of them. They lost to Iowa State 9-6. I was there. They lost this week 32-31 to Central Michigan, and I was there again. So, I mean, I'm not going to be allowed back for a Hawkeye game anytime soon. They're struggling. And quite honestly, they could be worse than the 2-2 record they sport right now were it not for a couple of plays going their way in the games that they won, which I guess is the case in any game you win. Something goes your way and you win the game. But the Iowa Hawkeyes have really struggled this year. Kirk Ferentz is, and I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat because I think he has full support over there, but fans are certainly not happy in Iowa. And this is a team that just doesn't quite have an identity. They had a pretty good offensive day, but then their defense didn't come up. They've had some very good defensive days, but their offense hasn't come up. And I see this a lot as a Cub fan. There are days where the Chicago Cubs hit the ball all over the yard and they can't pitch, and then the reverse happens. They get a great pitching game and they lose 1-0. That's the definition of a mediocre to bad team, when one side of the ball can't do something and the other side does. You've got a mediocre team right now with the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Along with Iowa's struggles, there's the Big Ten has had a tough road to hoe here, kind of in a non-conference schedule. What is surprising you the most with the Big Ten's overall play so far heading into this first weekend of conference?
Well, I think the thing that surprised me the most is that the Big Ten hasn't been able to capitalize on any of its national opportunities. And I think that's not only been a surprise, it's been a disappointment. Week in and week out, the Big Ten has a chance to say, okay, look, we're better than what we've shown early. But every week, they have their chance and they falter, whether it's Michigan, Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama, Michigan State, Notre Dame, whatever the big national game is that week. Every time in the non-conference season, the Big Ten kind of fell flat. Now the conference will play each other. They'll beat up on each other. Somebody will win the conference. Somebody will go to the Rose Bowl. But it's not a year in which the Big Ten is doing anything to solidify the notion that it is not falling a step behind the SEC. Now, I don't believe the SEC is the SEC of last year either. I think it's a very top-heavy league, but I think the middle and the bottom of the SEC are pretty soft this year. This is not a great year for college football from the top power standpoint. We are seeing some parity that is really filtered through college football. I think we're going to continue to see that through college football. This is a season where we're going to see a lot of surprises, because I don't know that there's any, other than Alabama maybe, any great football team out there.
Kevin Kugler with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You got Minnesota and Northwestern that are 4-0. You got Purdue that some people think might be playing in the Big Ten championship game. Which one of these crazy things that are going on right now has the most chance of happening? Minnesota, Northwestern keeping it going, Purdue getting into the championship game?
I think put me squarely in the Purdue playing in the championship game column. Nice. I had the chance to see them a couple of weeks ago. And part of that is because that division is such a mess. You can't go if you're Ohio State, so you take them out of the mix. I think Purdue is the second-best team on that side of the bracket for one reason, defense. They're very similar in some aspects to what Nebraska was a few years ago in the Big 12 with Ndamukong Suh. They are so dominant on the defensive line. Kawan Short is a great defensive lineman, and if people haven't watched Purdue this year, watch him, because he can just take over a game. But he's got help along that defensive line. And the one thing Purdue has on offense, they don't have a lot of experience. They've got major questions at quarterback, I believe. But they've got a lot of speed at the skill positions. And those guys, if they get to the edge, can outrun anybody anywhere. They've gone out and they've recruited. And Danny Hope's a guy who, of course, coached at Manatee High School down in Bradenton, Tommy Frazier's high school. He's got a ton of connections in Florida. He came out of the inner city of Florida, and he has really reached into Florida, into Georgia, and he's gone out and gotten track guys, speed guys, burners, and he's put them on a football field. He can field a real good 4x100 team. He's got a couple of guys who run track at Purdue. He's got a couple of guys who are actual football players that have speed, and they've utilized that speed with a good defense. I think that team is going to be the team to watch. And look out on October 20th. It's an underrated game on the Big Ten schedule. Purdue, Ohio State on the 20th of October at Purdue. That's a real intriguing football game.
Kevin Kugler with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Big Red wrap-up tonight. What do we got?
Well, we've got Andy Kendi, who is a former Wisconsinite, talking a little Wisconsin. We'll look back at the very briefly at the game on Saturday. I mean, really, what do you say about that game? Wow, they beat a really bad football team. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's yay, Imani Cross. Way to go. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can say about that game other than, okay, we're glad it's over. Doesn't appear to have cost Nebraska anything from an injury standpoint. Now let's move on and see what Wisconsin is when they come into town on Saturday. A lot of talk tonight about Wisconsin looking ahead to that matchup. The Badgers are a struggle right now. Brett Bielema's team is really trying to find its way with six new coaches on that staff. This is going to be a fascinating game. It's a game Nebraska should win, but we'll see on Saturday. A lot of that tonight on Big Red Wrap-Up.
There would be a lot of upset stomachs in the state of Nebraska, as always. Plus, Kev's got volleyball tomorrow night with Nebraska having their conference opener against Michigan State on the Big Ten Network. He's everywhere, and today he's on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kevin, thanks for stopping by, and we'll watch you tonight.
Gentlemen, thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care. Kevin Kugler joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show with Damon Day on this Tuesday. That went okay. You're okay.
He's a nice man. I take the ill. For anybody who doesn't, if you don't quite understand the timing, basically in 2005, we had a certain former Loper that went on and had a significant role in the Huskers going to the College World Series by the name of Jabba Chamberlain. Well, great story. Awesome story. But everybody started the whole story with, he played at the worst Division II school in the country. These guys were horrible. His ERA was like 7. I mean, so everybody would just like make fun of the Lopers for the first minute when they were talking about the Jabba Chamberlain story. And I remember him going on Sportsmanlike Conduct and talking to all of him and Carl Ravitch. If I ever see either of those guys in a dark alley, no, he's a nice guy. But that's why we were talking about I didn't really. So for everybody who's
things
wondering,
have went so far since then.
Yes, everybody was wondering, why does he hate Kevin Kugler? What's that about? Now you know.
And Jabba update is?
Jabba pitched a clean one last night. 3-up, 3-down versus the Minnesota Twins. So I think his ERA is down to 4.19. So starting to, what he did in August is amazing. To come back from the injury and whatnot. I'm a total Jabba Chamberlain homer. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I just love watching him pitch in the big leagues and do his thing. But, he came back pretty quick. I mean, real early. They weren't expecting him to even be back for the playoff run. And what he did in August is what everybody does. It's tough to get out big league hitters when you're locked in, let alone when you're just knocking off the rust. So I'm hoping he can continue to do things and be a good support for the Yankees' postseason run.
Also want to remind folks of volleyball tonight. Kearney Catholic, Grand Island Central Catholic on 98.9 Classic Hits getting underway at approximately 7 o'clock. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up. Don't forget our Husker Lunch tomorrow and every Wednesday is at Cunningham's. Doug and Daddy from 11 to 12. And then Sean Callahan talking Husker football, recapping the last week, the first four games, looking at Wisconsin, answering all your questions at noon tomorrow. Stop by and join us at Cunningham's. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, it's the Herd. I love business, and I believe to be successful in business, you need to be able to meet with your team regularly. I do. Whenever you need to, wherever you are. Discuss plans, share ideas, bring them to life. But with clients and colleagues working from different offices or on the go, meeting face-to-face often impossible. That is, unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, and I have. The powerful way to meet and collaborate with your team online. This is how business works effectively. With GoToMeeting with HD Faces, it gives your team the ability to share screen time, making it easier to be on the same page. And when you meet face-to-face, you're more likely to see eye-to-eye. So easy to join, so easy to launch from anywhere. Try GoToMeeting free for a month, 30 days. Don't wait. Special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Colin. Be sure to use the promo code Colin. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and the Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You know what? I have to throw this out. Oh, as you are dancing, Damon Day, I will have to say thank you, because the first night I walked into volleyball this year, I looked at the gal that was taking tickets, and this was playing. And I went, we're going to have to hear this as warm-up music for everything the rest of the year, aren't we? You know what? Not once. Not once. I'm probably jinxed it for the next couple of weeks, but not once.
Have you heard the new Taylor Swift song?
Yeah. I hate you! My relationships are bad! Don't ever call me again!
I have not figured out, but the UNK baseball team plays that song during weightlifting in the mornings.
Remember, stay away.
I cannot fathom for the life of me, you know, whatever happened to, like, Metallica or AC/DC. No, we're rocking it out. Well, what, to Taylor Swift?
Do they do that every day, or was that just leg day? Were they working arms or lower body, or what were they working?
It's Jazzercise day. The song is the most. If you haven't heard it, YouTube it. Do it. It's the most annoying song ever.
Don't forget, folks, to get signed up if you're young boy, young girl between the age of 12 and 15 for the Prairie Hills chapter Pheasants Forever, as they have their annual youth mentor hunt coming up on October the 20th. Find out more information at Old West Guns or contact the youth chairman, Dave Connor, 440-1325. Spots are limited, and it's one of the best events all year. Prairie Hills Chapter of Pheasants Forever and their annual youth mentor hunt at the Fort Kearney Shooting Sports Grounds on October the 20th. Contact Dave, 440-1325. It's time now for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you've not won in the last 2 months, give us a buzz. 888-455-3776. 888 888- 888-455-3776. That is the phone number to join us on the program today for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Love to hear from you. $25 gift card going to the winner as we wrap up our Doug and Daddy show for today. 888-455-3776 is the phone number. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Matt,
I'm going to keep it pretty simple. Who has the longest current winning streak in Division I football?
Alabama.
It is not Alabama. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Jason.
Jason, who has the longest college football winning streak currently ongoing in Division I?
Oregon.
It is not Oregon. Try back. So that's the number one and two teams in the country. It's not either one of those. 888-455-3776. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is Todd.
Todd, who has the longest Division I football winning streak currently ongoing?
How about K-State?
K-State? It is not Kansas State. Try back. 888-455-3776. I just wanted to make sure I understood him correctly. They're off to a great start this year. Let's go back to phone lines. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Phil.
Who has the longest Division I winning streak in college football right now?
Boise State.
Boise State is incorrect. They lost opening night to Michigan State. They had the longest winning streak coming into the season, but lost opening night to Michigan State. It is Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is Ron.
Ron, who has the longest winning streak in Division I college football right now?
I believe it's West Virginia.
It is not West Virginia. Try back. 888-455-3776. It's about time I'm going to have to change the question. Who are we chatting with?
Matt.
Matt, Nebraska and Wisconsin have played six times. How many of those games has Nebraska won?
Four.
That is incorrect. Try back. 888-455-3776. It is Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Nick.
Nick, who has the longest Division I college football winning streak currently ongoing?
TCU.
Oh, that's correct. 11 in a row. How many games has Nebraska won in their six that they've played against Wisconsin?
Four.
No, it's three. But it doesn't matter. You didn't need to know that. Hang on the line. $25 gift card coming your way. Thanks for listening to the show today.
Thank you.
There you go. TCU. That is it. And that is it for the Doug and Daddy Show today here on ESPN Radio. Thanks for being with us. Damon, did you know that? Did you know it was TCU?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
You're so smart. You're so smart. So don't forget the NFL is doing nothing, although we just saw Sportsbook.com, one of the online betting services, is refunding the money to anyone that took Green Bay last night. That's a pretty bold move.
What'd they say? $400 million?
Well, it's anywhere from $150 to $1 billion. Danny Sheridan took the high side with $1 billion, and some of the Vegas folks are saying between $150 and $250, not counting, you know, foreign money and offshore money. It doesn't matter. A lot of money. A lot of money with that mistake last night. Money, 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 money. Loper volleyball tonight. Best of luck against Doan. UNK had some really good cross country yesterday for the high schools. The Kearney boys, the winner. Kearney girls, the runner-up. Also yesterday, Bertrand Loomis girls, runner-up. Some individual champs included Chris Shelton of Minden and Ali Massad and Gabriella Gracia of Holdridge. We'll be back with you tomorrow for our Husker Lunch from Cunningham's on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.